I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. It's I'm going to just go ahead and fess up. I'm recording this show for Thursday. Also on Tuesday, before the primary results are in. I was going to wait until Wednesday just to get past the primary elections, but, you know, to be honest with you, I decided, you know, that's not necessary. My schedule is tough at times, so I have to record sometimes when I can. So I'm just going to go ahead and guess. I just want to congratulate Donald Trump, Roger Wicker, Michael Guest, and Benny Thompson. Congratulations on winning your primaries. I am pretty sure, I would say, if I was forced to make a large bet on this, I'm pretty confident that Mississippi has stayed the course as usual when it comes to those things. I guess things are going great for everybody. No changes needed. God knows, under Benny Thompson's leadership, the Mississippi Delta is firing at all cylinders, right? No poverty, no unemployment, the infrastructure's great, the schools are just really serving the kids and producing a whole new generation of Mississippi Delta rocket surgeons. I can certainly understand how they continue to do the same things over and over again. I believe somebody had a quote about that. But if you think that's a mind-blowing prediction, and you know, the funny thing is I really hope, as I sit here on Tuesday, pre-recording this show, I hope I look like a jackass come Thursday morning because I didn't see, you know, some upset with one of those four characters, but I'm not holding my breath. If you think that was some great prediction, just wait till you do till you hear a show. I'm going to do it sometime soon. And soon for me is a relative time right now because of my time constraints. But I'm going to do a show pretty soon that is called It's 2029, and Here's How Everything's Going. Here's how the second Trump term went. I can actually see that far into the future. 2029's been calling my name, and so I'm going to narrate a show from that time. Your spouse, so I'm not being sexist. If your spouse was cheating on you, would you want me to tell you? Just imagine we were all sitting around talking about the neighbor's wife who's cheating on him. And everyone knows except for him, you know, he's busy working, just trying to live his life, make some money, provide for the family, be a good guy. Everybody knows except for him, that his spouse is cheating on him. If you were that guy or that gal, and your spouse was cheating on you, would you want me to know? Or would you want me to tell you? Or would you rather me just keep my mouth shut about your spouse, and we would all just have fun talking about the spouse of someone else that we all know is cheating on them? And I ask that question because it's not a really obvious answer, as we would kind of think intuitively. Most people would say they want to hear it if it's happening, right? None of us want to be played for a chump. We certainly don't want everybody else knowing before we find out. That's absolutely the worst. But it is not an easy thing to tell another person. I've actually done this before, and they weren't mad at me, but it was interesting to see the denial, and I've done the denial myself. It's a grieving process to have something like that happen. It takes a while to process it. Sometimes the reaction towards the person who told you that can be real anger. How dare you? Stay out of my marriage. This is none of your business. You know, people will lash out at that stuff. because it's bad news, and it, you know, to try to process that, even if the friend is trying to help. Why do I bring that up? Because that's what the show is. That's what this show is. We know that the Democrats are horrific here on Conservative Talk Radio. And for 23 hours a day, Conservative Talk Radio show host will cover every single thing the Democrats are doing wrong. And to be honest with you, these days, it takes that long because everything the Democrats touch turns to garbage. I've just never seen a nastier, more bizarre, more insane, more corrupt group of people in my life. Every other day is a scandal. I don't know, every other day? Every day is like another scandal, and then the second scandal, the follow-up scandal, which is the media cover-up of the first scandal. It is a lot for conservative talk radio to cover. And if you are a consumer of conservative talk radio, then you've got 23 hours a day, except for my show, to do that. And everyone does it better than me. I did my time during the 1990s, early 2000s, when I was a Kool-Aid drinking neocon, warmongering Republican, of really blasting the Democrat Party to anybody who would listen and telling them how great the Republicans were. And that's where you need to vote. I'm not that person anymore. And that's not what motivates me. I'm here to tell you, your spouse, your political spouse, is cheating on you. And this is really what this show is. Your side is also cheating on you. So when you listen to the show and maybe you get a little tired, well, you're always going after Republicans. Well, I don't need, what is left to be said? What am I going to offer you? I'll go after Biden when he does something egregious. A lot of times I go after Democrats for things that Republicans don't really talk about much. I find that kind of my niche. But your side is also lying to you, and they're getting away with it. And I'm about to play a clip here from a Republican senator. Very entertaining guy. This is that Kennedy. What's his first name? Is it John? It's Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. He had a clip I think I played last week or 2 weeks ago where he said something like Joe Biden was polling right up there with gonorrhea. It was great. And the guy is entertaining when he does some questioning. I will certainly give him that. But I am here to make sure you're not taken in by some of these people who are like lying spouses. Now, I'm going to play a clip now with this is another one of these grandstanding Senate hearings. And this is Senator Kennedy talking to the CEO of, I believe, yes, Silicon Valley Bank. If you remember this, the Silicon Valley Bank crashed last year, right? They went insolvent. The whole lot of things about that story are really very gross. We covered it at the time, haven't talked about it much, but I'm going to bring it back up again because I want you to hear Senator Kennedy really laying into this guy. And look, I've got no love lost for the guy who was running Silicon Valley Bank. He may not be a very sharp guy. I mean, they basically went belly up between a Friday and a Sunday or something like that. Of course, Peter Thiel did put out a tweet basically saying, everybody get your money out of this bank today. That's a pretty tough thing when you are a bank holding venture capital and tech startup funds, technology company funds, and one of the big tech gurus, Peter Thiel, comes out and tells everybody to take their money out of your bank. That's pretty tough for anybody to withstand. But anyway, I'm going to play this clip, and I'm just going to point some things out. See, this is what I don't think ever happens on conservative radio, is to think through these things, because it is really great. You just look at this clip, and you think, oh, this is one of these Silicon Valley people. And he was at a bank that failed, and then we bailed out their people. And I'm just as disgusted with that as you are. But there's so much more to this clip. I think there's more to consider about this clip, and that's why I want to play it. Here we go. This is, again, Senator Kennedy talking to, Greg Becker. He was the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank when it went bust.
Mr. Becker, you were the CEO of the bank. You didn't have hedges, did you?
Senator, there were hedges that were put in place, but I don't recall the details around when they were put in place.
And you're the CEO, and you didn't. You had 55% of your assets in government bonds, and you don't know whether you were hedged or not.
Okay. I was going to let this whole thing play, but I can tell I'm going to have to interrupt it. I'm astounded by the gall of any of these Congress critters, not just Senator Kennedy here. They are running an organization that is tacking on $1 trillion of debt every 100 days. And the way they facilitate the maintenance of this organization, which is bankrupting the country, which is technically well past insolvent, is that they actually reach into the pockets of innocent American citizens who are working for a living, and they steal money from them. They take that money to Washington, D.C., they dole it out to their buddies, and when the American taxpayer isn't shaken down for enough money to give to their buddies, they start printing it up and borrowing it from other countries so they can give their buddies even more money, and they're racking up $1 trillion every 100 days in new debt. Pardon me if I think that's a little odd setting for somebody that's involved in that organization to be grilling anybody in private industry. I'm not taking up for the Silicon Valley Bank CEO. Trust me. What I am saying is there's a whole lot of people that might be able to cast a bony finger of indignation at this guy. Is it a sitting senator who's been in Washington, D.C., signing off on these budget deals that are bankrupting the country? Is that the best qualified person to talk about whether or not they did responsible things with their money at the bank?
Do hedges cost money?
Yes, they do.
And so if you bought hedges, you'd have less money, right?
Senator, it depends upon, yes, they would cost money, but it depends upon how the hedges
And if you'd made less money, that would have affected your bonus, wouldn't it?
I mean, that's probably true. Look, I'm no friend of the banks. I come on here talking about the Federal Reserve and the banking system and giving you Henry Ford's quote, if people understood how the banking system actually worked, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning. But it just astounds me that somebody that is associated with our federal government and sits at the top of it where the spending decisions are made to look at this guy and say, yeah, you're all about profit. You are going to affect your bonus. Well, what the hell is these senators and Congress critters, you understand they steal money from the American people. They borrow what they can't steal. They print what they can't borrow. And then they give it out to their friends. Anyone? So their friends will give them campaign contributions so they can maintain their power and privilege in our society. We're not $1 trillion in debt every 100 days because they're really striving to make the country much, much better. Now the country's actually getting worse. We're not paying $1 trillion a year in just interest expense on that debt because they spent a bunch of money to make the country better. No, they made the country worse, but the system benefits them. Senator Kennedy passes things so that he can bring money to Louisiana or to the groups that sponsor him, to the special interests that sponsor him, so they will give him campaign contributions so he can maintain this cozy position in Congress or in the Senate. So he's the last person in the world, any of these 537 nut jobs running this country right now, and most times, they are the last people in the world to talk about somebody else manipulating how they spend money because it might make them a little bit more money. That is Congress's total game.
Senator, our compensation was predominantly long-term in nature. And so I know there's been lots of discussions about compensation being short-term.
Mr. Becker, you made a really stupid bet that went bad. Didn't you?
Okay, I'm going to take a break, but when I come back, we're going to talk about this stupid bet that Silicon Valley Bank made that went bad and why they made that stupid decision. Senator Kennedy should know this. Maybe he doesn't. I'll be right back.
The Cohen blood, rough night in Jericho. Yes, I'll be saved by love.
All right. I only get 2 hours a week now, so I try to throw as many topics as I can into my shows to touch on as many things, and I still leave a ton of stuff off. This clip could take me the whole show. We're playing this clip from Senator John Kennedy. He is grilling and grandstanding in front of the CEO of the failed Silicon Valley Bank. He's already chastised him for making decisions based on his compensation, but that's what Congress does every day. They steal money from the American people, borrow money, print money, so they can dole it out to the political favored, so the politically favored will kick back a little bit to their campaign so they can continue to do it. And we also know, don't we, that these members of Congress are getting rich while they're in Congress. They make $174,000 a year, but over the course of 10 years, somehow they've got a net worth of $24 million. Not sure exactly how that works, do we? Anyway, so now he is going to talk to him, the Silicon Valley Bank CEO, about the terrible decision he made. Here you go.
Mr. Becker, you made a really stupid bet that went bad, didn't you?
Senator.
And the taxpayers of America had to pick up the tab for your stupidity, didn't they?
Okay, a couple of things on that last point. No, the American taxpayer didn't have to pick up the tab. You people in the government decided we would pick up the tab. Back in 2008, I think it was about 85% of Americans were against bailing the banking system out, bailing out big corporations that had made bad bets heading into the great financial crisis. What did Congress do? They bailed them out anyway. 85% of the people, Republicans, Democrats, old, young, black, white, male, female, straight, gay, were all against bailing out the banks. But this organization that Senator Kennedy represents bailed them out anyway. He asked, and the American taxpayer had to bail you out again, didn't he? No, we didn't have to. You got us to. Your organization bailed them out with money that you stole from us. Now, what he's talking about, the bad bet that the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank made, and I think objectively, I guess it was a bad bet. He should have foreseen what was going to happen. But essentially banks, and here's one of the reasons I want to bring this up. Silicon Valley Bank is just one of the first that this is going to happen to. This is not over. They have used a little duct tape, a few paper clips to try to keep the banking system together. But all banks were in this same boat. Banks went out and bought government bonds. They have to park their money somewhere to get some level of return. Our federal government, hand in hand with the Federal Reserve, artificially suppressed interest rates down to near zero. Any of you out there who were investing in CDs or savings accounts or government bonds, you know, you were getting no return on that money, right? Well, the banks were forced to do. Banks can't take all their money and invest it in high-flying stocks, because if that turns against them, they're really in trouble. And they'd be getting grilled about their excess risk. So they buy these government bonds. Now, does the government complain when these banks buy government bonds? Of course not. Because what is a government bond? It is somebody loaning the federal government money. And if there's anything we all know, it's that our federal government loves to borrow them some money. So they weren't complaining when all of these banks were buying their bonds and the government was paying them next to nothing in terms of return. But then when interest rates finally started to go up, these bonds lost a lot of value. I've done almost entire shows on this. If you don't understand the bond market, you should. It's the largest. The debt market is by far larger than the stock market, even larger than Bitcoin. So our government actually forced interest rates down. They are the ones that created these bonds with just no return on them whatsoever. So when interest rates started to go up because of inflation, then all of these bonds that this bank, Silicon Valley, and all the other banks too are holding, they all lost a ton of value. So when Peter Thiel went out and told everybody to take their money out of Silicon Valley Bank, they had to start selling these bonds, and they went, uh-oh, we've lost about 40-45% of our money on this bond portfolio because we can't sell these low-yield bonds anymore for any significant amount of money because everybody's buying high-yield bonds now. They don't want our bonds. Well, this was entirely foreseeable. The Mike Madison Show has been talking about it for 6 years. The disaster of this zero interest rate policy. Was Senator Kennedy complaining when interest rates were at zero and all these corporations that sponsor him and the rest of these Congress critters were just making it out hand over fist by borrowing for next to nothing? No, he didn't have any complaints then. He didn't have any complaints when Silicon Valley Bank and local banks that you know and probably bank at were buying bonds, loaning the government money. He didn't complain then. But then when the Fed does this aggressive rate hike, which they needed to do, they should take their hands out of interest. Well, bottom line, the Federal Reserve should be abolished. They shouldn't even exist. Interest rates should be a function of market forces. They would maintain an equilibrium. Free market stuff. You know, that's what Republicans are supposed to be for. Anyway, he is chastising this CEO for loaning the government money, money that John Kennedy, the senator, spent. All right, we'll finish up with this clip here.
Senator, there were a series of events, unprecedented events that occurred that led us to where we are today.
No, this wasn't unprecedented. This was bone deep, down to the marrow, stupid.
And I'm going to say this again. Just about every bank you can point at is holding the same garbage that Silicon Valley Bank had on their spreadsheet, on their balance sheet. And I'll explain to you, I'm going to have to take a break. I'll explain to you why you don't know that about the rest of the banks when I come back, but we'll finish this clip real quick. See, Senator Kennedy, I knew this was going to happen. How the hell does Mike Madison, who has no economics degree, no political connections, I'm not a high flyer, but I know that zero interest rates eventually ends, and all the people who are holding zero interest rate debt are in big trouble when that happens. And it's not just Silicon Valley Bank.
You put all your eggs in one basket.
You loaned all your money to us here in D.C. Wasn't that stupid?
You put all your eggs in one basket. And unless you were living on the International Space Station, you could see that interest rates were rising and you weren't hedged.
Now, he probably has a point there. They should have been hedged. I would imagine they had some problems in their risk management department. Might have had a bunch of DEI hires there. But you know what happens? What should happen in the United States that I would like to live in? If they make a bad mistake like that, they go belly up. They just go out of business. That's not what happened. I'll explain to you exactly what happened with Silicon Valley Bank and why you haven't seen more catastrophes like those bank failures last spring and summer when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, talking a little bit about these bank failures as Senator Kennedy grills the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, really rakes him over the coals for all his bad decisions. I mean, just think about that. Anybody, any senator or congressman, save about three or four of them, literally, out of 537, I'm adding on president and vice president. Out of all the horrific decisions they make on a daily basis, catastrophic decisions that affect 330 million Americans for the worse and about a million Americans for the much better, right? If you're at the trough, this government works fantastic. And that's why it does what it does. You know, people will say, our government's broken. No, it's operating exactly like they want it to. They don't like it when we get all pissy about it. They don't like it when we get out on the streets. That's why they send the cops out there to crack us over the head and shoot us with water cannons. But other than that, you know, when we're not being pesty, when they're going to see a movie and approach them about something or harass them, but they're willing to put up with that because they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars serving the oligarchs in this country. The government's working exactly as they want it to work. It just looks broken to us because we don't understand that it's working for them. But what happened there, you know, and Senator Kennedy says in that, and the American taxpayer had to bail you out. Now, again, I'm going to say it again. We didn't have to. You and the Treasury Department decided that we would bail them out, the same way you decided we were going to bail out corporations during COVID, which gave you the ability to lock us all down. I would imagine if there was no bailout for corporations coming, that a lot of corporations would have said, screw you, we're keeping the doors open. People can choose to come or not. Local businesses would have stayed open. It was the ability of Congress to print up money and flood it into the economy that let them get away with locking us down in the first place. Never should have happened. But what he's talking about, this bad bet that Silicon Valley Bank made, and I would imagine they did have problems in their risk department. You do have to hedge against rising interest rates. I mean, you could see this coming from a mile away. The Fed was even saying, we're going to raise interest rates. If you're sitting on a bunch of low-yielding bonds, that's trouble. And Kennedy's probably right. It probably would have affected their compensation if they'd gone out there and bought these hedges. They would have made a little bit less money. What they were probably counting on is, well, they'll bail us out. And if you were the head of a bank, wouldn't you just do whatever the hell you want to do and just figure that you're going to get bailed out? Because that's what our government's been doing. That's the precedent that they set during long-term capital management. I think they let a lot of them go under, but during 2008, 2009, they went out there and just started throwing money at everybody who was having a problem. Everybody who had made bad decisions. Everybody who had taken unnecessary risks, they just bailed them out. So if you're a bank head now, you look at your, you go, hey, you know, we probably need to put some hedges on there, but that's going to affect our compensation. Nah, just let it ride. Maybe nothing will happen, but if it does, they'll just bail us out. See, that's the conditions that our own Congress, both political parties, set for these banks to take these risks. Now, the last I saw, and this was just a financial commentator. I haven't really dug into this recently, but I heard someone saying the other day that they believe that there are about 500 banks in a very similar situation that Silicon Valley Bank was in. Now, here's the other thing that you won't glean from the Senator Kennedy clip, and Senator Kennedy won't tell you this, and Treasury won't talk about this much, even though it was public at the time. There is FDIC insurance on deposits, right? Everybody knows this. When you go to the bank, there's the little plaque there, and everybody feels good about their money being in the bank. Of course, your money's not in the bank. They've loaned your money out, and they're collecting interest on your money while they give you 0.1%, but I won't get started on the entire banking system. The FDIC goes in and they guarantee accounts up to $250,000. So if Silicon Valley Bank goes bust, then everybody that's got more than $250,000 in any single account, they got some problems, don't they? They're going to lose a bunch of money. This is why most normal people, us little people who can't cash in on political favors, we got to be careful with that stuff. We got to spread our money out, make sure we got less than $250,000 in any bank we're in, because the FDIC, supposedly, they've never been tested in a really big crisis. They don't have the money to cover all the deposits, but that's another story as well. But anyway, but that's not what they, so at Silicon Valley Bank, everybody who had amounts more than $250,000 should have lost their money, right? Nope. That's not what they did. See, Senator Kennedy and the rest of his gang of criminals in Washington, D.C., and Janet Yellen, the criminal gnome at the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve, they said, oh, I'll tell you what, we're just going to backstop everybody. Now, the bank didn't have zero money. I don't know exactly how short they were. I think it was a few billion dollars, just this one bank. But nobody even who had a deposit there over $250,000, and understand who was banking at Silicon Valley Bank, Silicon Valley companies, venture capitalists, the big money guys, the Wall Street guys investing in these startups who hit these huge home runs. They're the people who invest early in Uber and Facebook, and they, you know, they retire billionaires by the time they're 35. They had their money in Silicon Valley Bank, but oh no, Janet Yellen and our Congress and our political class couldn't let them lose a nickel, so they went in and backstopped everything, even over FDIC limits. FDIC. Did you know that? Did you know they bailed everybody out at that bank? And there were four... Well, I know there was Signature Bank, there was I can't recall the names of all of them that went under. But I believe they did this for some and not for the others. Some people might have lost some money. Maybe they backstopped them all. But of course, they cannot backstop. If the FDIC could insure every dollar in every single account, they would just do that. But they set a limit because obviously they can't insure every dollar in every bank. But this was a politically connected bank in Silicon Valley with a lot of important people's money in it. So they gave them 100 cents on the dollar back. That's my understanding. I don't think anybody lost any money. They came out like a couple of days after that and they said, well, we said we were going to backstop everybody to $250,000. We're just going to go ahead and stand good for every dollar that's in your account. You're going to get every nickel back out of Silicon Valley Bank. Now, there are 500 other banks that have the same problem. They're holding these low interest bonds on their balance sheet that aren't worth crap anymore. Because now, why would you buy a bond from a bank that's holding it that yields 1% when you can go out and find a CD that'll pay you 5%? Nobody's going to want that 1% bond. Well, banks across this country, pension plans, insurance companies, they're all holding these bonds because the government only offered them that for over a decade. They kept interest rates that low. They were forced to buy these low-yielding bonds. Now, the question is, because apparently Washington, D.C. is God of everything, and they decided they would cover all the deposits at Silicon Valley Bank, but when your bank goes belly up, we have no idea if they'll cover all deposits there or if they're hold to the $250,000 FDIC limit. And what they're actually doing is they're creating a scenario where there's really just going to be a handful of banks that are, air quotes, too big to fail, right? See, J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, they're so big, they're never going to let them go under. So they've kind of signaled this over the past year to a lot of people out in the market saying, hey, we don't know if we're going to come in and help any of these small banks, but we know they're going to bail out the big boys, right? They called them straight out to our face. They're too big to fail. It doesn't matter how reckless they are. It doesn't matter how badly they behave. We're going to have to bail them out because to let them go belly up would be catastrophic to us all. So what that does to the psyche of a lot of people and a lot of businesses that have a lot of operating cash on hand, they look around and they go, oh, I'm in this small regional or local bank with all my cash, but I don't know that Janet Yellen and Senator Kennedy and the rest of them are going to bail out my little bank here if things go wrong. So I better take my money and take it to Bank of America. I'm going to put it in a J.P. Morgan account because I know my money there. I know they'll bail J.P. Morgan out. You understand what I'm saying? So this is what makes me so angry about this clip, is this is Senator Kennedy. Not only does he not have, there's Thomas Massie, Rand Paul, maybe Mike Lee. I don't know. There's a handful of people, maybe Matt Gaetz, a handful of people that have actually voted against these huge spending programs and talk about it constantly. There's only a handful of them that have any credibility to judge anybody else in the way they handle money. Senator Kennedy, the rest of these people, they have no credibility whatsoever in berating somebody about the way they manage their organization financially. There is no bigger disaster than the United States federal government in 2024, and it's been that way for decades. No bigger disaster. Nobody on planet Earth has ever come up to something like $34 trillion in debt. We've got another $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities going forward. Where's that money going to come from? Nobody knows. So the federal government doesn't get to sit in judgment of anybody, in my eyes, until they get their own house in order. But this is not over. And Kennedy got to make his little points, and he came across, he had a big smirk on his face. Maybe that's one of the reasons I'm kind of fired up about this clip, is watching him smirk at this guy. Like he somehow is more qualified to tell this. And I'm not any fan of the Silicon Valley Bank guy, and he may be a douchebag, and he may be an idiot. But he's sitting in front of the one group of people that have no room to talk about somebody else's job performance. I'll be right back. Woke up in my clothes again this morning. I don't know exactly where I am. final segment for the day. I burned a bunch of time on that clip, but I think it was worth it. I started this show by explaining to you, would you want me to tell you that your spouse is cheating on you, or would you want me to keep my mouth shut? I would imagine when it comes to political talk radio, maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. Well, at least that's what people think. I've proven for 7 years now, I'm not going to do it. I'm here to tell you your political party is just rotten to the core, as bad as the other one is. Don't have any illusions that your political spouse is treating you any better. And I can't let this go. I just can't do it. Donald Trump sent out a truth the other day that appeared on Twitter, which is where I think most people see his stuff. I saw something that said that he has asked Elon to buy Truth. I would love to have been in on that conversation. I just imagine Elon going, now, why would I do that? I mean, anyway, that's like me telling Tucker Carlson to come buy my show so he can get some more so he can get some more listens. There's got to be two people that listen to my show that don't listen to Tucker's show. Come on, Tucker, come in and buy my show. Anyway, Donald Trump set out a truth. He said, quote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback," unquote. This is where he says, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that would have taken you." That's in all caps. That's Donald Trump, all caps. "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you." Now, you know, I don't know how many characters you get in a truth. Is that what you call these things? That's I've never been on the platform, but I have serious doubts there's a lot of truth being told over on Truth. But anyway, for some reason he left off the part about what that 12 years normally is. That 12 years is normally the testing period where you find out if things could go catastrophically wrong with something that you inject into people's arms. That's what the 12 years is that you cut off of the approval process for this vaccine. Now, what's even more interesting than the fact that he is still clinging to this is I really wondered, as an observer and somebody who is no fan of Donald Trump, it's a lonely, lonely place to be these days on conservative talk radio, but I just call it like I see it. I thought, wow. That can't be very popular with Trump supporters. And I did see a lot of them take to Twitter and say, you know, this is the last straw. One person said, "I'm so angry, I can't see straight. What the hell is he doing?" So I decided to click on these tweets. I usually just go through the feed. I don't really see. But I was just curious to see, how will they justify this? And I was not disappointed. There was a lot of creativity in justifying this thing. Even one guy had said, he's not talking about the mRNA vaccine. There are two vaccines. The vaccine he's talking about is hydroxychloroquine. What? This is the lengths that people will go to try to figure out how this is not a bad thing. And it's very interesting. Again, I've made the prediction at the beginning of the show. I would imagine Donald Trump won the Mississippi primary. Just about everybody that I know that's a Republican and conservative that I know and love here in the state of Mississippi is fighting their tails off for medical freedom and for exemptions from 72 shots for kids under 60 years old. And you voted for the guy who guarantees you no accountability for the COVID vaccine. You just nominated the one guy who you can be absolutely 100% sure will do no investigation into how COVID wrecked everybody's lives and zero investigation into how this shot became something that is killing millions of people around the globe. So it was very interesting to see people say and justify and just swat this aside. I personally don't know how you do it. I got to tell you, it's got to be absolutely exhausting just to see a tweet like that and then immediately have to have your wheels start spinning as to why it's a great thing. Another one of these things came out. Donald Trump apparently endorsed Roger Wicker. I heard about that on the Jameson Haygood show. Jameson said that was not a big deal. It doesn't matter. He's just playing political games. And when I hear that, I think, okay, so he's just another one of them. but he didn't seem to be bothered by it. I understand that, I mean, either he's upsetting the apple cart and dismantling this monstrosity that is our government and the deep state, or he's playing political games with the deep state. Here's another one. Quote, in talking about, this is Mike Rogers. He is a never-Trumper, neocon, warmongering piece of human refuse. He's a Republican running for the Senate in Michigan. And Donald Trump says this, Mike has served his country during a career loaded up with accolades and wins from the Army to Congress and now hopefully the U.S. Senate. Mike Rogers will be a great and powerful senator from Michigan and has my complete and total endorsement. He knows how to win. So this is another one of these endorsements, just like buddying around with Lindsey Graham. Everybody tells me Trump has changed. I'm not seeing it. Rogers, who left Congress in 2015 after serving 14 years in the House, has at times criticized Trump. And here's the important part. But he endorsed the former president's 2024 bid in a Daily Caller op-ed in January. And so Donald Trump will throw himself behind a neocon, warmongering, deep state candidate as long as they say nice things about him. That's the litmus test. It explains the Roger Wicker endorsement. It explains the Mike Rogers endorsement and all of their other horrific endorsements he will make leading into 2024. Sorry to say it. Your wife's cheating on you. I'll be right back. Well, I'm not going to be back. I'm done for today. I know. Everybody's happy to hear me say it. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Talking about, I'm not running out my mouth. I know this without a doubt. 'Cause if you know these streets, then these streets know you.